Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. So let's talk about your and my favorite subjects today. That would be ourselves. And specifically, how do we decide what's true and what's not? And further from there, how do we deal with people, relate to people, communicate with people who have come to a different conclusion than we have? There are a couple of ways that we as human beings decide what's true and what's not. We hear the term scientific method, which is one means to determining truth, but most don't have a good handle on what that means. And that method contrasts with almost all non-scientist human beings and the way we decide what's true. So let's start off by talking about how we do decide what's true and what's not. We're born into the world and we grow, we develop our worldview, our culture, our parents. Our educations have a profound influence on developing our worldview. So time out here for just a second. What do I mean when I use the term worldview? Well, we all have a worldview, and we can do a quick mind experiment to note what ours is in a certain sense. So just for a moment, compare what your perception of the world would be compared to, let's say, a 10th century Polynesian, the worldview that that person would hold. It's real clear that those two worldviews are very different, the way we perceive reality, the external world, our social systems, and so on. So by the time most of us reach adulthood, we have a pretty specific worldview, and it's really tough for us to change that worldview over time. It does change, it changes naturally, and it can change with effort, but only with significant time or effort. There's a term for this, it's called homeostasis. It means that basically as human beings, we want to stay the way we are, and change comes only slowly and with some difficulty, and usually with some discomfort. So what's the significance of this worldview? Well, for one thing, when we decide that something's true or not true, we decide that from the perspective of our worldview. In a certain sense, our decision has already been made by our worldview. Take, for instance, the Flat Earth folks. And by the way, I used to think that the Flat Earth folks were just kind of like a humorous or gag organization, but that's not the case. Turns out that they are really serious about believing that the Earth is flat. They start with a perspective that calls for the Earth to be flat. Then they start gathering data that supports that point of view, and they cling to their point of view that the Earth is flat, and there's no amount of data, it appears, that can change most of their minds. Do a quick YouTube to see what I'm talking about. The world is full of data points, and it's easy enough to find some data points for an already held point of view. Of course, the psychologist's term for this is confirmation bias, and it's something that we all do. I remember being a boy out with my church youth group on a nature hike outing up about 1,400 feet in the mountains in southern Oregon, and our youth group leaders happened to notice a shell fossil in one of the embankments. Now, the scientific view these days is that the Earth's crust is somewhat plastic, and it changes over time, and there's uplift, and there's receding land, and so on. And so we know that that shell was once at the bottom of an ocean of some kind, and it was later lifted up, and now it's at 1,400 feet. However, my youth group leader pointed this out as evidence of the biblical flood, that the earth was torn asunder, etc., etc., and here's a shell to prove that. And we all agreed that this was proof that the flood, as reported in the Bible, was actually a historical event. So to summarize that, most people start with a belief and then they seek facts to support that belief. In the process, they explain away evidence that contradicts already held worldviews. The social psychologist Carol Tavris calls this believing is seeing, as opposed to the quote we like to use, seeing is believing. We support our already held viewpoints by seeking out facts that support that. And this is true of everybody, including you and me, unfortunately. It is, I believe, a help to know that we do this, but it doesn't change the fact that we do it. So let's talk a bit about the scientists and the scientific method. The scientific method actually puts this process on its head. A researcher will collect or study observed data, develop an hypothesis, test and modify the hypothesis. If the testing validates the hypothesis, then that hypothesis approaches the point of being factual. Publication and peer review are critical to the objectivity of this process. So you see, really, it's the opposite way of deciding what's factual and what's not than what we do within our culture most of the time, ourselves as individuals. I recently heard a couple comments out in the wild, so to speak, that illustrate some of what I'm talking about here in terms of how we as individuals normally make our conclusions. I heard a woman say, "I don't trust the scientists." What I take away from this is that she has a worldview that is important to her, that's developed over time, that seems clear, straightforward, and true to her. Yet here are scientists telling her something that is contradictory to what she already believes. So what's she to do? Well, one of the things is to say, well, I just don't trust that person who's saying that. Of course, I think part of the thing is that most of us don't understand really how scientists do come to their conclusions. We tend to think that they do it the same way we do, and that's absolutely not true, as illustrated by my comments about the scientific method. I heard another person recently, this was in reference to COVID. He wasn't wearing a mask in a place where masks were called for, and he chatted with me a bit, and he said, well, I just don't believe masks work. If masks worked, then COVID would have been handled by now. So there was something about wearing a mask that didn't fit in with his worldview, maybe his sense of independence, his sense that he gets to choose what he does, not the government, or whatever it might have been. It was, in any case, in contradiction with the guidance from public health officials, scientists, that wearing masks is helpful in terms of the battle against COVID. Just didn't work for him, and he'd figured out a way to rationalize his own point of view. Now, it's easy to criticize or throw rocks at others that we're just quite convinced are wrong, but I think that that's not all that helpful. I think the real help in this regard is to pay attention to ourselves, to do our self-inquiry, to examine our own worldviews, to question what we've come to believe on a pretty much regular basis, to be open to facts pointing in a new direction. Sticking with our worldview is pretty comfortable, and deviating from it, evolving it, is uncomfortable, and therefore we avoid it. But I think it's a necessary process. There is a scientist that I admire greatly. Her name is Catherine Hayhoe. You can Google her or look for some of her comments on YouTube. She's a climate professor at Texas Tech, head of a department there, and one of the world's renowned climate scientists. One of the things that she says when asked what can we do as individuals is that she recommends that we be willing to talk to others about climate. I think it's pretty clear that we're reluctant to talk about climate these days because it is such a controversial topic, and part of that reluctance stems from the fact that it can often lead to some kind of conflictual, argumentative conversation the way we normally do things in our culture. I'm going to refer to the author and thinker Stephen Covey, who amongst many other things said, "Seek first to understand and then to be understood." Once again, in our culture, we stand that on its head most of the time and start off from trying to get the other person to understand our point of view. So then we have two folks each trying to convince the other of their point of view, and the results are seldom positive. On the other hand, and I've seen this many times in my own experience, that if I can spend some time to show the other person that I understand their point of view, the situation becomes less tense, maybe even congenial, and I can tell the person to their satisfaction, explain their point of view to them, and get their agreement that in fact I do understand, and the pressure in the pressure cooker goes way down, and then more meaningful conversation is possible. I can't do this seeking to understand first if at first I don't understand also that points of view are driven by worldviews and not necessarily by our ability to gather facts. Sometimes if I take the time to understand another person, that's going to be the end of it. That other person doesn't have the ability to understand my point of view in return. And keeping in mind here that understanding a point of view and agreeing with a point of view are two very different things, although they're often confused. Finally, there's another really important point here, I think, and that is once we have a clearly defined worldview in our own minds, it's difficult to understand why others could have come up with a different, sometimes diametrically different, point of view than we have. And so the temptation is to describe their worldview as motivated by ill intent or by lack of intelligence or lack of education or a hidden agenda or some other dark, devious motivation, whereas maybe they've just developed a different worldview over time than we have, and it's just as innocent as our worldview is. I think it's easy to think of worldview in kind of a fluffy way that it's, well, it's there, but it's not all that important. Well, it really is important. We've actually fought long, bloody wars over differing worldviews. My personal opinion is that addressing climate change is the important task that we're faced with at the present moment, and worldviews are very much a part of facing up to that task. Socrates said, "We are most convinced by that which we discover for ourselves." And so, arguing or trying to convince by overwhelming data another person of the correctness of our point of view seldom works. Understanding ourselves and the role of worldview in our own minds and in the minds of others is a big help in getting us to where we can foster self-discovery, discovery of the issues related to climate change and other important issues for ourselves, for the other person's self. So there you go for today. I'd love to hear your comments. Send me an email at John, J-O-H-N, at cctacoma.org, and I'll get back to you, make comments based on your email on the air if that's appropriate. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Education, Citizens Climate Lobby. You can check us out at cctacoma.org. Lots of good stuff there, and we'd welcome you to take a look. Thanks for listening, and for now, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care.